Blog Talk Radio.
Father, we come thanking you for the opportunity that you've given us to preach and teach your word. I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that this word will go out and touch the hearts of men and women, boys and girls everywhere. Thank you, Father, for letting us plant and water your word, Lord. Thank you for all things in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're glad to have everyone here today. And we will give it to Shannon after we have this praise. Praise the Lord.
The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all of the earth keep silent before him.
Yes. Well, I'm gonna be in the Bible in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 20. So go with me in your Bible, follow along, Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 20. It's called The Basis for Christian Work. Jesus said this, that we need to pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers into the harvest field. Now, not everybody's called to be an evangelist, but the Bible says we are to do the work of an evangelist. Even if you're not called to stand behind a pulpit, you're still called to reach the lost. You're still called to be a light unto the world. The Bible says that, says here, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world. Did you know the first two letters of gospel says go? And Jesus said here, go ye into all the world. What for? And preach the gospel to every creature. What is the gospel? The gospel is good news. It's the death, the burial, and the bodily resurrection of Jesus, that Jesus shed his blood on the cross of Calvary, that Jesus paid the price for all the world. And he says in verse 16, he says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We got to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And he goes on and said, but he that believeth not shall be damned or condemned. In other words, if they don't believe the gospel message that Jesus shed his blood on the cross of Calvary and died, God raised again on the third day, the Bible said they will be condemned. And the Bible goes on and said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, we got too many Christians trying to follow signs, but we got things backwards. We're not to follow signs, but the Bible says signs are to follow the believers. It's not just to follow the preachers, but those that believe. It is the believer. Signs shall follow them. What signs is he talking about? Well, he goes on and says in verse 17, he says, in my name shall they cast out devils. That is, in the name of Jesus, we can command demons to come out of people, and they will have to obey us. We don't have to be like the seven sons of Sceva when the evil spirit spoke through the man and said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? But because we're in Christ Jesus, when we command demons to come out of someone, they have to come out and they will obey us. It says, shall they cast out devils. Notice that they means it's up to us. And the Bible goes on and says, they shall speak with new tongues. That is the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking another tongue. Notice that. Here in verse 17, it says, they. And then it goes on and says in verse 18, it says, they shall take up serpents, and they shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Now, we're not to tempt the Lord God. We're not to take up serpents. Remember Apostle Paul, he was building the fire, and the viper came out, and it bit him. He wasn't trying to show his faith by handling snakes, it, meaning that he shook it off. In other words, we can shake it off if one bites us. And he said, and if they drink any deadly thing, that means if someone tried to poison us, like as missionaries on the mission field, the Bible says it shall not hurt them. In other words, they can't hurt us. The Bible says in the last part of Luke 10:19, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. And the Bible goes on and said, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Who is it that lays the hands on the sick? It's the believers. It don't just have to be the preachers, but believers can lay hands on the sick. The Bible says, and they shall recover. Now, what is recover? Well, when someone is sick and in the hospital, there's a room called the recovery room. That means they get better over time. They recover. Verse 19 says, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven. In other words, Jesus was ascended up on high and sat on the right hand of God. That's where Jesus is right now. He's in heaven, and he's at the right hand of God the Father. And the Bible says, and they went forth and preached everywhere. Well, that's what we're to do. We are to go forth, and we are to preach everywhere, just like Jesus commissioned them here. In the Great Commission, we are to preach the death, the burial, and the bodily resurrection of Jesus. And the Bible says the Lord working with them. In other words, the Lord Jesus worked with them. We can do nothing without Jesus. Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. And the Bible says not only did the Lord work with them, but he said, and confirming the word. What is it that worked the miracles? It was the word of God. They preached the word. They taught the word of God. And confirming the word, that's what God's going to confirm, is the word with signs following amen. That word amen means so be it. So those verses was in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 20. Now, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, he says, go ye therefore. Well, where are we to go? Wherever God sends us. Wherever God sends you, where he guides, he will provide. And the Bible says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. In other words, God will send us. That is, if we are a willing vessel. And what are we to teach all nations? It says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That is how we are to water baptize. We are to merge people in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Notice the word in verse 20 again. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. Even unto the end of the world, or the end of the age, is what the Greek word says. Amen. In other words, Jesus will be with us, and he will never leave us, or he will never forsake us. I like what one minister said one time. When everybody walks out, that's when Jesus walks in, and Jesus will stick with you closer than a brother. Now, another passage of Scripture said, and said unto them, thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. That is what we are to preach, is the resurrection of Jesus. And we are to preach this, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name, in the name of Jesus, among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. We are to tell sinners that they need to repent of their sins and ask Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of their life. And the Bible goes on and says, and ye are witnesses of these things. We are the witness. In other words, we are his witnesses. And the Bible goes on and said, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. What is the promise? It's the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking another tongue. It is the power. What is the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking another tongue for? Is so you will have power to overcome the world, the flesh, the devil, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and the lust of the flesh. So you will have power to be witnesses unto a lost and a dying world. He said, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Now, the Holy Spirit is already here now. And it goes on and says, and he led them out as far as to Bethany. And it says here, he led them out as far as unto Bethany and lifted up his hand to Jesus and blessed them. Jesus blessed them, and it came to pass. In other words, it happened. While he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. This is the ascension. This is the death, the burial, the bodily resurrection, and the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church. And they worshiped him. In other words, Jesus never denied when someone worshiped him. Jesus is to be worshiped because he is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. And returning to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. That's what we are to do. We are to continually be in church or in the temple. We are to praise and we are to bless God. Again, these verses end with the word amen. And the Bible says in Acts 1:8, he said, but you shall receive power. You shall receive dunamis power. That's where we get our word dynamite from, explosive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses. That's the reason we're to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, so we could be witnesses. He said, unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria, notice this, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth, we are to witness to every creature. And the Bible goes on and says, in Acts chapter 8, verse 4, last verse, I'll stop here. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. We need to preach the word of God. If we'll preach the word of God, then God will confirm his word. Maybe you've heard the gospel today, and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. All you got to do is pray this prayer after me, mean it with your heart, and say, God, forgive me. Jesus, come into my heart. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and he is alive. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. The blood of Jesus washed away all your sins, and your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, you heard the gospel. I love you. Jesus loves you with an everlasting love, and Jesus is Lord. Well, I'm turning it back over to my brother.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Jesus is Lord. And we want to preach the good news, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. You have a story. If you're born again, you have a message. Tell them how you got born again. We'll be back with Sister Mary. my Redeemer lives. Every Christian ought to be able to say that. My Redeemer lives. Sister Mary, haven't heard from you in a long time.
Oh, glory be to God. I'm here, praising. I'm here praising God and lifting him up in every way that I know and asking him to keep me and save me and teach me and heal me. And that's where I want to be, is where he is. So we know that he didn't say it was going to be easy. He said he'd be with us. So when we renew our minds and get the idea in our heads that he's going to be with us, we're not talking about the outside of Mary. We're talking about the inside of Mary. And Mary's been trying to get over Mary. That's been Mary's problem. Mary's been trying to have her way all this time and still get up on the wrong side of the bed sometimes trying to have my way. And I can tell you right now, it don't work, Mary. Tonight, I want to do, let's see, what is this? 1 Corinthians. Let's see, wait a minute. Forgot what chapter is. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I think like starting with verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now, when we're out in the world, we have no concern about the fact that we're going to die. We got 1,000 years to do our thing. Well, I can tell you right now, our thing ain't going to help us. The only thing our thing is going to do is get us more and more into trouble. Well, only God has the power to change our hearts and our minds. We don't have the power to save ourselves. We don't even know how. We don't even, when we out there and don't know God, we don't even have the ability to want God or to be thankful for him for his keeping and the fact that we're alive. But every man, in his own order, Christ the first fruit, after they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when we shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall put down all rule and all authority and all power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies underfoot. Now this is why Jesus came and died for us. To put all the enemies underfoot. Well, what are you talking about? We're talking about our attention span. We're talking about our heart. We're talking about what are you intending to do. And a lot of times, we're just out there. We don't have any ability to understand that there's a difference between spiritual and physical. Have people today, they're talking about how can Jesus be raised? He's dead. How you going to raise that dead man alive? Dead man again. We're not going to raise that dead man up. That body's gone. It's going to rot. But the spirit of that man's going to spend eternity somewhere. And that's why we came to earth was to decide where we was going to spend eternity. And that's why Jesus came, so that we could. Because Adam and Eve gave up their rights. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. Verse 26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. In other words, we no longer fear death. We know we are not going to die. This whole flesh is going. Well, you stay here, and when you start getting older and older and older, the old flesh will start turning against you. It's always something hurting. It's always something it needs or something it wants. It wants to eat too much. It wants. in high maintenance. And when you're younger and don't know no better, you're out there in things that the Bible is telling you is against God, and that's all you want because that's all you know. But the Bible also says for us to study and show ourselves approved of God. And we have to know the word. We have to want to know our heart. We have to be willing to look at our heart. And, you know, we just get plain bent out of shape when you tell me, Mary, you're wrong. No, I don't get bent out of shape when you tell me I'm wrong. Because I'm glad I found out I was wrong. So I know if you can change, I can change. So I'm not going to build up a lot of resentment and unforgiveness and stuff because you told me I was wrong. Now, if I'm going to Florida, and I'm going north, I'm not going to Florida. So it doesn't matter what you tell me if I'm bent that I'm going to Florida. But I don't have the ability to know that north means not Florida. So when you're speaking about fleshly things, you're talking about what you see with your natural eyes, what you can touch with your hand. Yeah, we our loved ones and people that we know and been acquainted with that die and leave us here. Actually, it's because of the fact that they went on away from here and left us here that bothers us the most, but we see it in a different way. We want them to stay here with us. We didn't want them to go. But God knew when they came, and God knew when they were leaving. And I can tell you right now, you're going to spend eternity somewhere. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. In other words, it's like this. Okay, I've been out in the streets. I've been lost. I was lost. And without Jesus right now, I am still lost. It is only he who has the power to save me. So why should I get all upset and angry at you when you tell me, Mary, you're going north when Florida is going south? Well, when I get angry at you for telling me the truth, you might even take a map or try to draw me a map or something. I'm still not going to accept it. Only when one day I realize and it starts getting colder instead of warmer, now it might be 20 years later. But look at the time you wasted when you could have paid attention and been interested in your own salvation by getting in the Word, getting around people who knew the Word so that your spirit could be quickened. And you could start to learn about Jesus, be around people who know the Lord. There's a big difference between a person who knows the Lord and one who doesn't. And there are people out there, they put on a pretty good show. You know, let's play pretend when we're children. You know, I'm a cop, and I'm a lawyer, and I'm a mother, and I'm cooking, and I'm a father, and we're just babies playing. But when you actually see all these things, the responsibility of all this work and all that you have to do is a whole lot different than pretense. And pretenses don't hold up in a storm. Pretenses don't hold up in sickness. None of the things that the deceits of this world, being deceived by our power, my righteousness, well, I can tell you right now, it don't do nothing but just keep you in misery. The only thing I had power to do was to keep me in it. And believe me, I did a good job. If only when you can get low enough and keep on lowering yourself, humbling yourself before God. Humbling yourself every day, lower and lower to God, looking to His strength to do what needs to be done, that the changes come. And that fully lets me know it's not Mary that did it, but Mary's thankful to be glad to have lived to a place where that I know it's happening in my life. Because earlier in my life, I would have been in the midst of hell. And I liked where I was. I was doing what I wanted to do. And I was enjoying it. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that puts all things under him, that God may be all in all. Now, in other words, Jesus is all. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. Our whole life should be about Jesus. It's not about this earth. It's not about anything other than Jesus. He's the only hope we have. He's the only salvation we have. He has all the power. There is no other power. Else, what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? If the dead rise not at all, why are they then baptized for the dead? Well, why would you be baptized for the dead? You're going to pretend that you received the Holy Spirit? You're going to pretend? Well, I tell you right now, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. And hold on, and this computer just does what it wants to do here. Bless God. Hold on for just a second. It's all right. And we shall go, I'll go back to Peter 41. This is one, there is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars. But one star differ from another in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. In other words, the corruption has got to die. It's got to separate from you. And for you to be incorruptible means being in the Spirit. It's the Spirit of God. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. We had no honor for the Lord. But when he comes into our life, we begin to see his glory. And therefore, we want to be rid and separated from the dishonor. It is sown in weakness and is raised in power. Because we realize that we don't have any power to heal ourselves. We don't have any power for peace. We don't have any power to the things that we need. We may have everything on earth but one thing, and only God has it. And you might as well not have nothing if you ain't got what you need. Now, sometimes when you have things, and, you know, we have things like land and animals a long time ago. They didn't have money like we have money now, but they bartered in exchange. I give you my pig and you give me your lamb, whatever they would exchange. Like my mom used to exchange a stand of lard for 100 pounds of sugar or whatever, for whoever had it, or a ham for whatever she needed. If somebody that had it, they would do it. And it meant that they bartered in that way, so God made a way for them to have their needs met. It is sown a natural body. It is raised in a spiritual body. There's a natural body and there's a spiritual body. That's the part that we have trouble with when we don't know the Lord. And so it is written, the first Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but first that is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual. Simply because Adam and Eve obeyed, disobeyed. Adam was made spiritual. He was made perfect. And he disobeyed. And God had to send his son down here to correct it all, because there was nobody else available to come. Nobody else qualified. And God gave him the power. The first man of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And as is the earthly, such are they also that are earthly. And as the heavenly, such are they that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doeth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. What, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. Glory be to God. This is God's power that we're talking about here. Man doesn't have that kind of power. God does not have that. We don't have that kind of power. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when the corruptible shall put on incorruption, this mortality shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Glory be to God. It is in spirit. Earthly means that you came here and you're going to leave. Spiritually means that eternally you're going to be with the Lord. Oh, death, where is that sting? Oh, grave, where is that victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abound in the works of the Lord. For as much as we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. In other words, we have a job to do. And our job is to lift up this Jesus that died for us. This Jesus who shed his blood for us to wash away our sins. That is our job, to glorify him, to lift him up, to tell people about the light, to come out of the darkness, to study the word of God, to show ourselves approved, to be honest in our hearts. And when we're honest in our hearts, we love everybody. We don't want anyone lost. We want them born again. We want them full of God's Spirit, knowing that God, Jesus Christ, fixed it all. I want to stay where it's already done and already finished. And Mary wants to be over here in something that's not finished, into something that's miserable. And they did this and they said that. It doesn't matter what they say. God has the power to do what he said he's going to do, and he will. Tonight, dear Father God, we thank you for your grace and your mercy, my Father. We thank you, Lord, for coming and dying on the cross and shedding your blood, Lord. Whoever's out there, Lord, give them a quickening spirit, Lord God, to realize that it is you, Jesus, that they need in your life. You make the changes in their lives, my Father God. You're the one that has made a way. And we thank you for the peace, Lord God. We thank you for the joy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you for that message.
Just
You are the one. That's good news, is when we get to the point that we allow God to be God in our lives, then we can enjoy life, because what happens is our spiritual part starts energizing. In other words, we began to smell the aroma of God. We began to hear the aroma of God. We began to see the aroma of God. We began to feel the aroma of God. We just began to smell it and taste it and feel it and hear it. All of our five senses become spiritual, and we began to operate in the things of God. When Adam was made, he was spiritually enlightened. In other words, he could communicate with God from his spirit, his heart, his whole being could communicate with God. His body would line up with his born-again spirit. His soul, which is his mind, will, and emotion, would line up with his born-again spirit. And he loved God. He loved to see God. He loved to smell the aroma of God. He loved to hear the aroma of God. He just loved to taste that aroma as he was in the presence of God. We began to come alive with God. And that's what it's about. It's about becoming alive with God, actually having a relationship with him, talking with him, spending time with him, knowing that when you pray, knowing that when you pray, you have the confidence, knowing that whatever you ask for, he will give it to you. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So if I'm studying the word of God under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and I'm praying under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, then I'm communicating with God, the God of the universe. And what God wants to do, he wants to embrace his whole creation. He wants his whole creation to be in his image and likeness. He wants everything to flow the way he made it to flow. He made it where the creation would be in oneness with him. When he flowed, they flowed, starting with Adam and Eve. He wanted them to flow with him so they could enjoy life. They could enjoy the mountains that he made. They could enjoy the seas and the oceans and the lakes and all of the things that he made. They could enjoy the animals and all of those things. Instead of destroying them, they could enjoy the beauty of those animals on planet Earth, the magnificence of God. I was traveling on Friday, and I saw just before daybreak a beautiful painting in the sky. And I began to worship and praise God while I was driving. What a gift that he gave me that morning. A gift that no one could have painted that. No one could have painted that for me. God presented me with this beautiful painting, and it is etched into my mind. I can still see the beauty just laid out in front of me. Praise God. Something about that. I can see his handiwork. And I began to praise and thank him for letting me see that beauty. And I'm sure others saw the same beauty. Praise God, we can see that beauty. We can see the lakes and the oceans and the seas and all of the goodness, the grass, the flowers, and all of those things. Sometimes we take them for granted. But God made us to enjoy all of those things. Praise God. You know, I wanted to talk a little bit about out of Matthew, the 16th chapter. And I want to just start here where Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? Who do people say I am?" You know, we got so many opinions about Jesus. Was he born of a virgin? Did he really die on a cross for our sins? Did he really resurrect from the dead? Is he at the right hand of the Father? Will he come back? Well, a lot of questions. And then the question was, is what he says here. He said to them, "But whom say you that I am?" That should be a question, and we all should be able to answer that question. You are the Son of the living God. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah. You are the Redeemer of all men. You are that. And Jesus said, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." That's good news. No one could have revealed that. Kind of like you said, Sister Mary, when you were out there doing your thing, you didn't have no idea about being saved. You didn't want to be saved. But God called you. He called you before you were conceived in your mother's womb. He already set your life in motion. He already knew that he was going to use you. You know, I thought about today as I was driving home. I thought about this. All of the things that happened to me as a little boy and all of those things. I mean, just being black and criticized and all of these things that happened. You know, I wouldn't take anything for those experiences. I wouldn't take anything for being hated just because of the color of my skin. I wouldn't take anything for what people have done to me. It's kind of like Joseph. He had to go to Egypt as a slave. Then he gets accused by Potiphar's wife. He goes to prison for a number of years before he emerged being prime minister of Egypt. You see, there are a lot of things God put us through to get us ready to lead. I remember when I was about 13 years old, there were some older ladies, probably about five of them. They would always call me Mr. President. I mean, every time they would see me, they would call me Mr. President. I don't, you know, I couldn't understand that then why would you call me Mr. President? Well, I didn't know I was going to be the president of the Grace of God Prison Ministry, but something those ladies saw, they saw something there. We don't ever know what we're going to be, but God already knows. So he says, blessed are thy Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I know there are a lot of different opinions, but God's church is built on the rock of revealed truth that can only come from the Father. I know there are a lot of different names, but God's church can only be on the rock of revealed truth. He said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. No matter what's coming against it, it will not stand. It cannot stand because the gates of hell cannot come against it. So it just looks like the church is falling apart. Well, the real church is not falling apart. God is getting a remnant of people together who will worship him, who will serve him, who will praise him, who will pray in season and out of season, who will study the word of God and show themselves approved, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There will be a day when these people will be revealed by the glory of God. And what we see now is not that church, but that church is hidden inside of all of that. There are people who are hungry for God. They're not hungry to be entertained anymore. They're hungry for God. I'm hungry for God. There's always somebody trying to sell me a new program, a new whatever. I'm just hungry for God. I just want God. That's all I want. I want to worship him. I want to praise him. I want to pray without ceasing. I want to study the word of God. I want to tell people about Jesus. I thought about something else I was experienced when I was in Houston. I went to this car wash, and there was probably about 30 young men there with no direction whatsoever. Didn't know how to be men. Probably the youngest might have been 17 or 18. The oldest, there's no telling, about 40. But I'm saying, all of this wasted talent, all of these gifts being wasted, and it seems like we don't care. I can tell you, it does benefit us to help these fatherless children. It does benefit us to help these single moms, or we will be taking care of them in prison, or early graves, and we'll be paying for the fields and things. We need to influence the next generation. We need to be able to stand and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. All that talent, who will go and tell them they love them? And every man that I talked to, they didn't know who their fathers were, or the fathers wasn't around. All of them are probably of no fathers. And guess what? The same thing that happened with them, they are doing it. So I pray tonight that we will continue to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That was a good trip because I had the opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those men. Not only in words, but in deeds. And I just pray that the church will get up and reach the people around them. You don't have to go overseas. Just reach the people where you are. Father, we thank you tonight for the power and the authority of your word. I thank you tonight, Lord, that you have given me everything I need to destroy the works of Satan. You've given Sister Mary everything that she needs to destroy the works of Satan. You've given Shannon everything he needs to destroy the works of Satan. And I pray that we'll never, Father, we will never give up on those young people. I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, we will weep, we will cry, we will fast, Father. We will pray for those young men and young women, Father, who have no direction because we haven't given them any direction. I praise you tonight, Lord. Touch us that we may touch the world. Thank you for this broadcast tonight, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, Sister Mary.
Yes, God bless you.
Thank you for that message.
You're welcome.
God bless you. We'll see you next time, Monday.
Yes.
God bless you.
Your praises shall come.
Always praise God. May God richly bless you is my prayer. Amen. Amen. God bless you.